privilege to stand up here and share the word of God. Awesome presence of God this morning, isn't it? I was preparing the word yesterday morning and I received a text message from my boss, and she asked me if I could work today, 8:30 in the morning till 4 o'clock. They were really desperate for staff, and I said, look, we got a deal. If you could preach for me today, I'll do the shift for you. She said, ha ha, I like your sense of humor. She said, don't worry, Josh, I'll do the shift myself. I'm glad I'm here. She said, it's double time. I said, no, I'm not taking it. I'd rather be doing this. I was up today about 4 o'clock in the morning. I usually don't get up that early, but I was, you know, praying for the word. And, you know, I reckon it's the best time to seek God, to spend time with Him. You know, about 5:30, the birds starting to sing along and the kangaroos out there. And you joining with them and singing to the Heavenly Father. It is beautiful. It's the best time to seek God, and I was loving it. And why don't we just pray? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you for coming into our midst, Lord. Thank you for your presence, Lord. We just come here with expectations that you would encounter with us, you would speak to us, and you would touch our lives. Lord, I just pray that as I speak about this topic on heroes, Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would unleash the heroes in this place. And I pray that in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. John Piper said, all heroes are shadows of Christ. And all throughout the scripture, we see many men and women who did many marvelous, mighty things for God. And Paul talks about a list of people, men and women, who did amazing things for God in Hebrews chapter 11. And but unfortunately, many people, including Christians, have this wrong perception that there's something so special about these people that we see in scriptures. And there's something extraordinary about them. So we happily just read through the Bible and say, hey, well, back in the day, David, yeah, mighty man of God, that's David. Wish I was living in that age. But today I want to put the emphasis on the fact that they are people, simple, ordinary people, just like you and me. The heroes in the Bible that we see lived on this earth like you and me. They breathed the same air like you and me. They ate and drank and slept like you and me. They cried and they laughed like you and me. Nothing but simple, ordinary people. They're heroes. They're ordinary people, but they did extraordinary things because they handed themselves into the mighty hands of the living God. They kept saying yes to God. And every single person sitting here today has the potential to be heroic. Every single person here today. And today I want to draw your attention to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 to 10, where it talks about a man called Jabez. Anyone heard about Jabez? He's only a little known hero. There's only two verses written in the Bible about him. And you know, you don't hear many preachers talk about Jabez, but I think he's an absolute hero. And the first 9 chapters of the first book of 1 Chronicles talks about, gives us a list of genealogy, a list of descendants of the different tribes of the nation of Israel, the son of so-and-so, son of so-and-so, so-and-so, goes on. Suddenly, the author of the book of Chronicles stops there, and he mentions and puts an emphasis on this man called Jabez. And this is what it says. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. Now Jabez in Hebrews mean pain. So his mother, you know, delivered him, brought him into this earth, and she went through so much pain, and she called this child Jabez, son of sorrow. I don't think anybody here would like to be called pain. Now that's very, very unpleasant and a bit unfortunate for this child to be called son of sorrow. His mother called him Jabez so that he would grow up, constantly remind himself of the fact that he caused so much pain to his mother by coming into this world. Now the Bible doesn't give us too much detail about this man, but it says Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. He's not known for his outstanding achievements in the battlefield, you know, chasing down armies or anything like that, but he prayed a simple prayer that opened the heaven, and it released God's favor and power upon his life. He's an absolute hero. His mother bore him in pain, and to make it worse, she called him Jabez. Now, this child probably grew up being, you know, a bit neglected because of his circumstances, and, you know, he was probably not very popular among his family or his friends because he's Mr. Pain. He probably faced a lot of rejection, and because of that, he grew up thinking my future is supposed to be an absolute failure, an absolute sorrowful one. But that didn't stop him. He thought, my circumstances do not permit me to make it, but I will make it. My circumstances tell me that I am nothing but a pain, but I serve a God who is mighty. My circumstances tell me that I am nobody, but I serve a living God who can change a nobody into a somebody. I want to look at this prayer that Jabez prayed into piece by piece. There's four parts to it. And the first one he prayed, God, bless me. He prayed that God would bless me. Second, he prayed, God, enlarge my territory. And I like that one. And I'm going to speak more about that later on. And third one, he said, he prayed that God's hand would be upon me. And fourthly, he prayed God would keep him from evil. Now, Jabez remembered the covenant God made with Abraham and the promises that he gave Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 12:2, it says, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make you your name great, and you will be a blessing. You know, the second one he prayed, enlarge my territory. I know it sounds a little bit greedy and arrogant. How many of you here have prayed a daring prayer like that in your life? Enlarge my territory. Sounds a bit greedy, but you know, I prayed a similar prayer about a couple of years ago, when God took a hold of me and I was trying to make sense of this Christian life. And I prayed, God, there has to be more meaning to this life. Is Christian life all about turning up to church on a Sunday? If that's what it is, I'm ready to go. Done. And I said, God, you use me or you lose me. You use me or you lose me. Sounds very arrogant, right? But guess what? I think God liked it. God said, oh, I can work with that. I can work with that. Jabez prayed that God would increase his territory. Now, Jabez isn't praying that God would bless him, in the real estate world. He wasn't praying for God, 100 acres of land, please, God. He was praying. He was a righteous man, serving the Lord faithfully. And he's praying, God, enlarge my territory, increase my sphere of influence. The world says to me, I'm nothing but a pain. But come into my life, enlarge my sphere of influence. You know, asking God to enlarge our territory is not something that we should be guilty about. It is what God wants us to ask. Henry Blackaby, who is the founder of Blackaby Ministries and an evangelical pastor, said this: God is interested in the world coming to know him. The only way people will know him is when they see him at work. Whenever God involves you in his activity, the assignment will have God-like dimensions to it. Some people say, God will never ask me to do something I can't do. I have come to the place in my life that if the assignment I sense God is giving me is something I can handle, I know it is probably not from God. The kind of assignments God gives are always beyond what people can do, because he wants to demonstrate his nature, his strength, his provision, and his kindness to his people and to a watching world. That is the only way the world will come to know him. When God's people and the world see something happen that only God can do, they come to know him. In other words, if your dream isn't big enough that it's intimidating you, it is not from God. And church, I want to encourage you to dream big. We have to dream big because we serve a mighty God. Jabez dreamed big. He asked God to increase his territory because he knew the God he served, there was nothing impossible for him. And God granted his request because his prayer lined up with the agenda of heaven. His prayer lined up with the heart of heaven. Henrietta Mears was a Christian educator, and she was an evangelist. Died in 1963 at the age of 72. And she said this: God doesn't call us to sit on the sidelines and watch. He calls us to be on the field playing the games. She took the position of the director of Christian education at the First Presbyterian Church in California. And she prayed that God would enlarge her territory. And God kept extending and enlarging her territory. 3 years after she joined the church, the Sunday school grew from 400 kids to 4,000. She kept praying that God would increase her sphere of influence. You know, Hope Point Church is on a mission. God has a great plan for Hope Point Church, and if you haven't sensed the Spirit of God moving in this place, I ask you to stay awake. I ask you to stop sleeping. See what God is doing in this place. I want to encourage you to dream big. We have to be a church that be praying the daring prayers, because we're serving a mighty God. We need to stop dreaming little things. We have to be dreaming about thousands of people flocking into this place. We have to be dreaming about the youth group just bursting, that we'll be needing so many buses. We should be dreaming about salvations every single day. Through Mears' influence, 400 people entered full-time ministry, and one of them was Bill Bright, who is the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. You know, we can talk about a lot of these people who've done heroic things, but I want to look into what makes a hero for God. What are the characteristics of a hero in the eyes of God? A hero is someone who is totally committed and dedicated to God and his word. Now, they are the faithful servants of God. These are the people who have surrendered their lives totally to God. These are the people who wouldn't just live in faith, but walk in faith. These are the people who are totally committed to the kingdom of God and His expansion. These are the people who have their lives totally anchored on the Word of God. Secondly, a hero is someone whose strength is in God. A hero is someone who boasts about their weakness, not on their strength. Now you look at Paul. Paul said, "I am strong because of my weakness. For God's power is made perfect in our weakness." What made Moses strong is his weakness. What made David strong is his weakness. You know, when Prophet Samuel anointed David as the king of Israel, Bible said the Spirit of God came upon David. It fascinates me, the word "came upon." You know, the Hebrew meaning for "came upon" is cloth, to put on as a garment. In other words, the Spirit of God put David on as a garment. It's no longer David. It is God operating through David. It fascinates me, you know, David was watching his father's sheep one day, and a lion comes and takes off one of his sheep. And the Bible says David went after the lion, struck it, and rescued the sheep out of its mouth. And the lion turned on him, and the Bible says he seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Now, an adult male lion weighs about anywhere between 200 to 250 kilograms. And there's no way a little shepherd boy can tear a lion apart. The Spirit of God did that through David. When the Amalekites came and took captive of David's wives and their children and his army men's wives and children, there was chaos in the camp and there was confusion in the camp. And 1 Samuel 30 says, David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. A hero is someone who never relies on his strength, but the strength of God. A hero is someone who boasts about his weakness. And Jabez prayed that God's hand would be upon me. He knew that in order to increase the sphere of his influence, he would need the hand of God to come upon him. And that without it, it's going to be impossible to increase the sphere of influence. And hero is someone who remains humble and gives all the glory to God. All the men and women throughout the scripture, if you look at them, none of them forgot to admit the fact that God was the true hero. A hero is someone who never self-exalts but exalts God. A real hero points people to Christ, not people to himself. And Jesus is the greatest hero of all the time. And the Bible says we should have the same attitude as Christ, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. A hero is someone who stands the test of time. He is someone who perseveres through the times of trouble. He is someone who would grow deeply in God in times of trouble. You think about Job. You know, God said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? He's a righteous man. He resists evil." And Satan said to God, "You have blessed his hand. How about you stretch out your hand and strike everything he has? He will curse you to your face." And God said, "Let's see." Job lost everything. He lost his family. He lost his children. He lost all the animals, all the possessions, properties. And the Bible says he was sitting in the ashes, scraping his sores. Can't get worse. His own wife said, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." And in the midst of all that, Job said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I will depart. Yahweh has given, and Yahweh has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A hero stands the test of time. A hero is someone who puts his faith into action. In other words, we have to be doers of the Word of God. In other words, we have to practice, put into practice the Word of God. We can't just have faith and just sit there. We have to put the Word of God into practice. Jabez, the son of sorrow, pain, cried out to God of Israel that he would enlarge his territory and that God's hand would come upon him. And in the genealogy, in the book of Chronicles, nowhere it mentions about the father of Jabez. And all the other people, you can see son of so-and-so, son of so-and-so. Suddenly, Jabez comes, it mentions about mother. And it's fascinating, in Hebrew, the word orphan means fatherless, not motherless. It means fatherless. One without a father is called an orphan. And one without a father is fatherless, without inheritance, without hope, without wealth, without nothing. He is nobody. He has no inheritance. You are broke. And that is probably why his mother called him Jabez, son of sorrow. We don't know what happened to his father. Does he have a father? I do not know. But the Bible mentions about his mother. All the rest of that tribes have their fathers mentioned. He's probably a child who is fatherless. His life is full of pain. His mother is predicting a miserable, painful future for this kid. Hopeless future for his son. For her son. And the world tried to label him as nobody. Nothing but a waste of space. But something about this man caught the attention of God. Something about this man, a simple prayer, caught the Creator of heavens and the earth. God had a different plan for Jabez. The Father in heaven had an awesome plan for Jabez. You know, this man's story reveals God's powerful will for all of us. This story reveals what the Father in heaven longs to give you and me. He enlarged Jabez's territory. He might have been a fatherless child, but the Father in heaven had a different plan for Jabez. You know, we see many people going through tough times in their life. Maybe some of us had pretty tough upbringing. You know, I was talking to a young lad who comes to youth group a few weeks ago. And he's 16 years old, and to this very day, he doesn't know his father. He doesn't know who he is. His mother wouldn't give him any details about his real father. And when he was very young, his stepfather came into his life, and it was real bad. He used to beat the juice out of him. There was drug addiction. There was alcohol. Anyway, this kid grew up with all his anxiety and depression and deep anger in him because of the circumstances. But you know, God has a plan for that kid. God has an amazing future for that kid. But sometimes we use those circumstances as a crutch to live a dishonorable life, to live a life that's aimless. Now, Jabez had all the circumstances to do that. He's a fatherless. He gets the worst name in history, son of sorrow. But he chose to think differently. A man with no father, no inheritance, no nothing, no future. The world labeled him nobody, but the Father in heaven made him one of the most influential characters in the nation of Israel. Could I request the band to come up, please? This morning, I want to encourage you that every single person sitting here today has the potential to be a hero for God. You know, you and me are not called to be just coming to church every Sunday and just go home and do nothing about it. God wants to increase our territory, our sphere of influence, just so He can expand the kingdom of God on earth. He wants to reveal His nature, His power, His glory through you and me. Why don't we all stand up? I want to ask you today, what's that dream that God has etched on your heart? Are you doing something about that dream? If not, what's stopping you? Is your dream big enough that it intimidates you? If it is good. You know, I'll tell you what I'm praying for. I'll tell you what my dream is, and I don't really care what people think. I am praying that God would increase my sphere of influence in the city of Caboolture, in the city of Morayfield. Sounds stupid to people, but I'm serving a big God. He can do the impossible. I'm really believing that. I want to see the kingdom of God invade into every part of Caboolture. I want the Spirit of God drive out every darkness from every corner of Caboolture. I want God to increase my sphere of influence, my territory in Caboolture. And I hope your prayers are similar to that. I'm hoping you're praying that God would increase your territory. John Knox, the great 15th century Scottish reformer, he prayed, God, give me Scotland or I will die. Give me Scotland or I will die. That's a dangerous prayer. Very dangerous prayer. But you know what? God loved it. I bet God was thinking, that's my man. That's my man after my own heart. I bet God said, I can work with you. You know, God did mighty things through John Knox. Mary, the Queen of Scots, said this, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the assembled armies of Europe. Because John Knox prayed, give me Scotland or I will die. A daring prayer. Church, God is speaking to you this morning. You know, you get one shot at this life. We're all given the gift of life. It is by grace you and me are here this morning. You know, you and I will have to go if not tomorrow. We have to face that. What are you chasing? What's your dream? Are you going to leave a legacy for the next generation to come? Are you going to work for the kingdom of God? Are you going to ask God to increase your territory? Are you dreaming about the expansion of kingdom of God in the city where you are, in the school, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, wherever that is, wherever your sphere of influence is? Maybe the world told you are nobody. Maybe the enemy kept lying to you. Look at you. Look at your past. Look at your circumstances. How can ever God use you? But God has a different plan for you. If God can use Jabez, who is a nobody, if God can use a donkey, He can use me. If God can use Jabez, He can use you. He's saying, give your life into my hands and I will make you into a mighty weapon. That's all you need to do. Let us be the church that prays the daring prayers. Let us be the church that believes for big things, who dreams big. The heart of God is burdened for the city of Caboolture. And he's looking to raise up heroes. He is searching for heroes. And to this morning, I want to open up this opportunity for prayer for somebody. God is looking for heroes. All you need to do is give your life into his hands. All you need to do is, God, increase my territory. Give me Caboolture, I will die. You got nothing to lose. And I want to spend some time this morning praying for you. If God has spoken to you this morning, can I encourage you to come forward? Joshua chapter 14, verse 10 to 12 says, "So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day." God is looking to raise heroes, dear friends. This is not just another sermon. This is the message for the church this morning. This is the message for the church this morning. Don't go home thinking this is another sermon. Don't come to me saying that was a good sermon. I don't care. I'm not looking for that. I'm just saying what God has put in my heart, and I'm sharing with you. God needs warriors. The city is going down the hill. It is gripped by the curse of drugs and alcohol and everything. God is looking for heroes. I was wondering maybe if we can spend some time in worship and we'll pray for you. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Challenging words. Couldn't help but think of that verse in Isaiah where the Lord encountered Isaiah and he said, "Whom shall we send? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." I feel a tug on my heart today too, you know. We need to all have that cry in our heart, Lord, we're here for you. We're here to serve your purposes. We're here to live for you, Jesus. We're here to do your work in this day, in our generation, and in our time. What a wonderful passage Josh shared to us today. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." And so good what Josh shared today. But you know, this man's whole life changed because it says Jabez cried out to the God of Israel. And it doesn't just say that he prayed, doesn't just say that he called on the Lord, it says he cried out. Something within him was so sincere. Something in him was so in touch with reaching into the heart of God that he said, "Change my life. Do something with my life. Take my life. Do something. I'm called pain." And he prayed all those prayers and he said, "So that I will be free from pain." He wanted to be free from what was put on his life. And it says God granted his request because he cried out. If there's a cry in your heart this morning, come out. And if there's a cry for God to change what you feel has been put on your life, just come out this morning. We want to pray for you. Maybe you've never met Jesus. Maybe you've never made that first cry and said, "Lord, something's got to change. I need help. You haven't met Jesus? I invite you today. Come out and we will just agree with your prayer. He's knocking on the door of our hearts today.